I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time.
All right. I would like to welcome to the podcast today my good friend, Duff Gardner. Duff comes to us with over 30 years experience in this business world that we are in, and is a master of content in a fun revenue generating kind of way. So welcome, Duff.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. Thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. So
yeah, me too.
All right. Okay. So Duff, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your background and history and kind of where your expertise lies.
Sure. Yeah. So a few years ago, Jen, before even I got to know you, my kids who are now in their mid-20s were, sort of getting into university. And so I had fallen into like a lot of consulting type work, and I had decided that I wanted to get into something new. It was just kind of one of those transitional points in life. I was about to turn 50. And so I jumped into the coaching and transformation world, the digital marketing world, and started learning how to do launches and how to build content and all these kind of wonderful things that we do. And I found that my experience in the startup world, launching successful startups, was something that was interesting to people. And so what I do now is I bring what I call startup thinking into the coaching and transformation world. So there is a rigor, like when you're in the startup world, there's a rigor to it that I love. And I think it's something that's missing in the coaching and transformation world. So I do definitely try to bring that. And I've been fun. And, you know, I've worked on diverse projects. I've worked on projects with you, which has made life as kind of a, whatever you want to call me, transformation coach, whatever, fun. So yeah, it's nice to be here today.
Absolutely. All right. So this is all about content. And okay. I know that your expertise lies in crafting the one of the most important aspects of content that we do as marketers, which is the part that actually puts money in our pockets.
Right.
So tell me kind of how you ended up, like your journey of how you ended up focusing there.
Okay. So you're speaking about offers, because like my signature program is called the Offers That Sell Mentorship. So like an offer to me is the intersection between your marketing and your product development. Like when you're thinking about doing something, it actually should be the first step to think about rather than the last step, which is counterintuitive to a lot of folks. And I didn't actually understand this until I started working with entrepreneurs who were doing this. And, you know, we'd work with them on launches, say. And at the beginning, I didn't have a structured process. And they would always want to move that part of the work to the very end. Like, because, you know, you'd be trying to go like, well, let's talk about the offer. Well, let's just talk about the marketing and how all these different things are going to fit into the campaign. And so as a result, you'd be slammed at the end trying to tweak and optimize and come up with little elements of the offer that they felt were important. And when that happened, it was always really challenging. I mean, I think I'm pretty good at what I do, but you know, it's stressful. And that's kind of when I realized that, you know, my work in the startup world was really important for people in coaching and transformation, because to be honest, what you work on the entire time is your offer. So for example, like if when you're in the startup world, you're trying to raise capital for your technology company. And so say that you, and I mean, this happened to me, say that you get invited to present at a venture capital forum. So, you know, you have to work on your pitch, whether it's a 5-minute one or a 20-minute one, doesn't really matter, but it's like, that's what you're going to do. So as a startup, like for sure, you're casting around trying to get onto people's stages, but you do not leave that presentation until the night before and then try to sort of throw something together to sound crafty and irresistible, right? Like you work on it, like you're working till hours of the morning trying to come up with the proper elements of how to describe what it is that you do. And it can be like one little word, or it can be like quite a deep conversation into something like what's the value of what we do? How are we unique? And going deep on those kinds of conversations to come up with something that is attractive to people. So that's kind of how I try to approach things. And, you know, that's my take on offers. So like coming back to like a coach and transformational marketer, I guess, or digital marketer, when you start with your offer, well, let's put it this way. If you leave your offer till the end, it's like building your house on quicksand. It might look good for a little while at the beginning, but cracks will start to form. And then you just end up trying to plug leaks. So yeah. The concept of the leaky bucket in digital marketing and coaching world, you can solve that problem in many instances by just really spending the extra time on getting your offer right.
Absolutely. Oh, love that. And so true is that we get all wrapped up in the lead generation and marketing and may not be thinking necessarily about the journey, like where we're trying to take them. So
yeah, for sure. So yeah, I like to focus on that. That's kind of the key thing for me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know one of the ways that you're doing that is through the podcast medium as well as other media as well. But I know that's kind of one of your core focuses. So talk to us a little bit about how you're working with podcasts.
Right. Yeah, cool. Well, so sort of in a random way, this happens sometimes. I got involved in the podcast world. In fact, when I first got involved in podcasting, it was kind of kicking and screaming. I was at an event, a small fulfillment event, a common friend of ours, Jackie McClanahan, and in Hawaii, in Maui, and a fellow presented there and was talking about podcasts. And at the time, I was kind of like, well, I've got some clients who are interested in podcasting, so I'm going to buy a ticket to his event and just see what it's all about and try to learn a little bit about it. It's the last thing I want to start doing is to start getting involved in podcasting, and it's going to be extra work. So I actually ended up diving in head first. I realized actually that the cool thing about podcasting from a content perspective is it's like a push versus, it's a pull versus a push.
Mm.
It's a pull versus a push. So, you know, like a lot of us, you're starting to recognize that this marketplace is becoming very competitive. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things changing in the marketplace. So some people who have run really successful businesses for the last decade using digital marketing are struggling now because what worked even just a couple of years ago does not work. There's a lot of impacts, like there is an email deliverability. There's fatigue on the part of people receiving emails. There is a competition of people entering the marketplace. And so, you know, people are comparing different content marketers and digital marketers, and you know, you're lined up on a wall, and they're, you know, how they evaluate the value of what you give versus someone else is changing all the time. And so what's nice about having more of a pull approach to content marketing versus push is that somebody told me this last year. It's a great metaphor. They said to me, you know what, Duff, you're involved in many dances. So just do that. And so podcasting allows you to kind of dance around in the many dances in life that you participate in and show different nuanced elements of you. And, you know, therefore people get a flavor of you and you can start to demonstrate how you're valuable, how you're unique. And, you know, instead of trying to be magnetic, you just actually are magnetic naturally to the people who are naturally drawn to you. So the metaphor, if you've got some football fans, I think. So traditional marketing to me in many instances has becoming a thread the needle kind of a thing. Threading the needle in football is when, as a quarterback, you've got your favorite receiver. It doesn't matter if they're being covered by all the defensive backs. You're still going to try to throw that football through all of them to your favorite receiver rather than taking more holistic view and saying, you know, who is the open wide receiver? So digital marketing has become a lot of threading the needle. And instead, when you get into podcasting, it's much more of a natural way to show yourself and become attractive. That's where it's more of a pull versus a push. So today what I do is I work with a lot of podcast folks. So stage one is we have a program called the 30-Day Podcast Funnel. And what that does is it helps people from soup to nuts. You know, they come in, they're one of three people, maybe four people, I guess. So they either are trying to be a guest on podcasts, or they're kind of just starting a podcast, or they're so frustrated they've quit and they've bookshelved their own podcast. You know, they've done some, but they've bookshelved it. And lastly, I guess, is they have a podcast, but they're not generating a lot of leads from the podcast. And so what we do is at that stage, we work with them to create their entire funnel and offer around the podcast. So in other words, if people are going to come onto your podcast or if people are going to listen to your podcast, you want to try to monetize that podcast, obviously. So we really focus on monetization. We carry that through into our higher end programs as well, where we work with podcasters who have been in the game for a little while and they're really focused on like, how do I monetize my podcast better?
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. You just had so much in there. I just want to like repeat a little bit and make sure that the nuggets get picked up here.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
So I love the idea of that you just naturally become the attractive character on a podcast, because there is, you know, like we talk about keyboard warriors who get like all brave and it's usually a negative connotation. But here on a podcast is you're just talking. It's your personality. You're not worried about putting on airs or doing all of these, like it has to be the right words. It's just you talking. And that is, you're right. Like it naturally just creates that attraction.
Yep.
Love the concept of pull versus push marketing. Yeah. God, that just goes so far. And even in terms of like when you're repurposing this content, then it becomes pull marketing across other channels as well.
Oh yeah.
You're just giving a nudge, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Like I think when a lot of people think about content marketing, especially like I'm 54 now, and as fabulous as I am, I still get kind of, you know, it's like, this feels like a lot of work to me to get into this. So as a consultant, if you come in and say to people, well, you got to get into content marketing, you got to start producing content here, you got to start producing content there. And, you know, it kind of, for someone my age, it feels like you're going back 10 or 15 years when people are like, yeah, you got to start blogging. And we did. And it was like crickets.
Right.
Right. But the difference about podcast marketing, like you're talking about, is like, I love doing podcast interviews. Like it's super fun. I enjoy it like crazy. You know, I do have a 30-minute conversation. It's under 30 minutes actually. And then, you know, you systematize the whole production, which there's a little effort there. But once you get it, you can take that content and turn it into many pieces of content and just kind of push it out there. So it's a very different thing than like, oh, I got to write blog content, like that mentality. It's actually, once you step into it, if you kind of open your mind to it, it's a very refreshing way to market yourself organically. And, you know, one of the groups of people I mentioned is people who have built podcasts, you know, they've done 50 episodes or something. And then they're just like, well, I'm not getting any clients. I'm not monetizing this. It just feels like a lot of work, a road to nowhere kind of thing. And, you know, I love those kinds of clients because there's ways, like you said, that you can take that podcast asset and start to amplify it and rejuvenate it. And it can be like the next thing that takes your business to, you know, the destination you want to get it to. So I agree with you 100%. Like it's the best way right now to grow your online business is with a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many ears listening right now. It's crazy. It's such a great market. And it's not that difficult to get into. Like you said, a few things, but then it can become systematized.
And, you know, like right now we're living in a world that's like exponentially more virtual than it's ever been, you know, and our lifestyles are changing by the day and, you know, there's uncertainty and blah, blah, blah. But I think that what's becoming super clear is that, you know, like people are consuming content in ways that are new all the time. And so like developing the skill of doing that, I think for all of us is really, really important. If we have a business, doesn't matter what you're doing. Like if you're any kind of a contractor or a practitioner, it's important to learn this skill, you know, to get your voice out there.
Yeah.
You know, like Alexa or Google House, Google, I better not say it quietly because she'll say, what do you want? you know, like a lot of people consume podcasts that way. They're just hanging around the house and they say, Alexa, play such and such, you know, or it's not just in the car. It's not just on your iPad wandering around. It's in the home now. And we don't know what's next. So it's very good.
True.
Yeah.
Wow. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. But even more ears. It's awesome. All right. So one of the things I do like to do is give kind of some tactical recommendations as well. Right. So what are, you know, some of the things that you would recommend in terms of podcasting or offers or, you know, avoiding common mistakes that you've seen? Just kind of give us some of your best advice.
Well, okay. Two ways to answer that question. So there's this concept of irresistibility. And so I actually have this thing called irresistibility trap, a very, very technical term. But basically it's this idea that how does it manifest? Like a lot of people think, oh my God, I got to know my niche, or I got to know my avatar is more current way of thinking about that. And so what ends up happening is they turn all Winnie the Pooh. So you go, you find a log, you need to start think. You start bonking your head, right? Think. You know, and months pass and you're still, and then you're joining Facebook groups and you're buying new tactical ideas and trainings and stuff. And it's like, what's my niche? And it's over and over again. So the way to think about that in terms of irresistibility trap is, first of all, so the two parts to the question answers. When you focus on perfect messaging for that specific avatar, the first thing that happens is chances are the marketplace will dismiss you. And then the next thing that happens after that is you start to build this internal resistance to everything that you're doing. Then you're like, oh, I got to figure out a way to get clients or get sales. So it's like taking out the garbage. You're going to try it all again.
Then you become Eeyore.
Then you become Eeyore and you're trying to come up with the perfect messaging as Eeyore. And it goes, it's this cycle. So it's kind of like this cycle of this idea of irresistibility. It's a term in the, it's a term in digital marketing, which has its place. People are challenged to execute on it. So back to startup thinking, if I'm standing in front of a bunch of investors, I'm not trying to be irresistible. Instead, I'm trying to be investable. When you're investable, people trust you and they'll invest their money in you. So I tell, one of the first things I do with clients is create that distinction, like irresistibility versus investability is really important. The second way is, back to the question of niche, it really stumps people like crazy. But I can point you to tons of people who have high functioning, highly profitable businesses that did not stop them. They just started. I mean, that's part of the beauty of the startup world is you iterate your way to success. You don't sit around and think about it in your man cave until it kind of happens. So the way that I think about, so back to tactical. So there's five ways that you build a vibe of it being investable. So it's building that vibration where people are like attracted to you, which is important in podcasts too, right? Because we're talking about pull marketing. So instead of thinking about like, oh my God, what is my niche? Think about it this way. So there's five things. So the way that people are attracted to you is through these five ways. In other words, another way to say that, your avatar. So if you try to figure out who your avatar is. So there's a difference, for example, between an entrepreneur, a local business person, a local franchise owner, or a local franchise owner struggling with cash flow. Like those are different people altogether. What is your transformation? Like how clear your transformation is. So like I had a client who initially was talking about taking people from thinking about traditional parenting to more spiritual parenting. But as she started to talk to people and get clearer on her avatar, she realized it was actually women who were returning to work, who were high functioning executives, who were concerned about things like making the right choices around childcare. So that changed the way she framed the transformation quite differently. Third is your system. People don't spend enough time on their system because like people will come to you based on a system. So for example, in the consulting world, the Gartner Group, they're attractive because of their specific system. That's why people come to them. That's the framework by which they sell themselves. So focus on like frameworks, systems, techniques that you use. It's important. People want to know to different degrees. Some people that might be the exact thing that brings them into your community. The other thing is, like, what's your journey, your personal story? I just went to an event where, like, it was like an event where people tried to get on podcasts. So, like, you know, like if you've got an 8-step formula, that got you onto some podcasts. But the people I really remembered were people who had a really compelling story, like a transformational story that they can impart on their clients. And so, there's one other thing that I tell people to focus on, and that's their premise. So, premise is like a counterintuitive statement that catches people's attention. It's something that you deeply believe, it's deeper than a why. One way I ask them to think about it is like, where are you rallying against the hype? Like, how do you position yourself differently? And so if you can come up with that kind of a statement, like a negatively framed one, or it can be a positively framed one, like education is killing our children. I want to talk to you about why. Like that's a negatively framed one. But you could also say, you know, like offers are the best way to grow your business. It could be that. You're right. But coming up with something that's counterintuitive to your audience. So when you collectively lump those five things together, think of it like if you've ever taken any kind of life coaching or something like that, people will say there's like the life coaching wheel where they'll turn it into a bunch of pie slices. And they might ask you to scale on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how are you feeling about this kind of priority? So of those five, you know, do that with yourself. Put them in like a wheel, sort of say to yourself, like with an avatar, like how clear is the avatar? You know, maybe it's a 5 today and some of your other ones are a little bit higher or lower, but here's the deal. Start, because you don't need to be a 10 on description of the avatar. Entrepreneurship and online entrepreneurship, you know this as an expert marketer, like what's best practice in digital marketing? To be honest, best practice in digital marketing is to think of your entire business as a sandbox,
yep.
Right? And to keep experimenting your way into success. Like, it is not to go a man cave your way to success. It just doesn't happen that way. So this particular case, like, you know, in terms of how you describe yourself as valuable and unique, take that 5-step system and work on it, but use it as permission to start. And, you know, one last thing on that, like, think about someone that you follow. Like, it could be Oprah, that's kind of obvious, or Ellen or somebody. Like, pick anyone in any kind of, it could be an author. Like, why do you follow them? Like, are you the perfect avatar? Are you the perfect niche? Probably not, but you still follow them nevertheless. So why is that? And so just think about that if you ever get stuck on like, oh my God, I got to know this. Just start.
That's awesome. I love that. It's almost reverse engineering the avatar conversation. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're right. Mm-hmm. We get, oh, I have to niche down or niche down or however you want to say it. But like, yeah, think. And we just get stuck.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What a great framework. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So one other question that I really like to ask is on this journey that you've been on for many years, what's one of the most surprising things that has happened to you even personally, your own transformation, something you never even expected?
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I could talk like about a year and a half ago, I had an event where I had to make a presentation of 90 seconds. And can I tell the story?
Yeah, absolutely, if you want to.
So I had to make a presentation for 90 seconds. The goal was to get on people's podcasts. And so it kind of speaks back to this framework I just gave you. You know, we get really persnickety. I'm going to use the word persnickety. We get very persnickety about how we occur to others, you know, and it's like we're our own worst enemies when we try to do that, you know. So this particular group, it was the second time I was presenting. So I presented 6 months prior and I'd made kind of like a presentation around my 8-step formula. And, you know, I'd gotten a lot of requests to be interviewed, so that was fine. So I was really trying to optimize that. And I was at a table with a woman. There's about 200 people in the room and we got a chance to practice and I gave her the practice and she kind of was like, we've become great friends. She's an amazing woman. And she kind of looks at me, she goes like, it's good. You know, I was like, that doesn't seem very convincing. And she goes, it doesn't seem like you're being real. It seems like you're kind of trying to be someone. So I was like, okay. So on the plane, on the way down, one thing that's really, besides rescue dogs, which you know is a really big, important thing for me, I've really wanted to step into the topic of diversity and inclusion much more because that's part of my journey. Many years ago, I suffered a case of what I felt was bias to me when I had a C-level job. And when it became clear that I was, you know, when I was gay, which I am, by the way, hello, my boss was a woman and I mean, we're friends, but in that case, it was like this weird bias that happened where the next thing, you know, I'm going from strategy, respectful strategy conversations to, can you get me a coffee? So it was kind of like, you know, a very strange and unnerving experience for me that I went through. So I was trying to communicate that idea in this presentation and it went terribly. Anyway, sorry, but I should back up. So on the plane, I'd been thinking about doing this. So when she told me that my idea, like my sort of safe presentation basically sucked.
Yeah.
They called my name, which like I was one of the first people to present. So I had no time to kind of go like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Like it was happening now. So I go up to the mic and I present. And of course, the sound system's not working. So I have to repeat myself. One of the guys on stage, great guy, I love him. He was a Christian podcaster who had an opinion about this whole thing. And so it was just like this very interesting, live, very vulnerable, unrehearsed presentation where I was talking about playing in the out games in Montreal as a hockey player. And it was just, it was like a cluster, you know what? But you know, this funny thing happened. I got a standing ovation live and I got a standing ovation from the live stream. So like 300 to 500 people, I'm not really sure. So, you know, for someone like me who I grew up in Alberta, I'm kind of like meat and potatoes, you know, kind of a guy. I don't know, like it's something that I'd struggled with, how to connect the dots between who I am and what I do in business. And so in that moment, it kind of helped me to connect those dots. And, you know, like I'm just a bit, maybe I'm a bit more real with my business now. So that was surprising. I did not expect that to happen, but it's had really good results for me. And I've had tons of extra business because people kind of get me now.
I love it because you shared that real vulnerability thing, and it's not a thing, probably perfect scenario because it wasn't even something that you planned or did. And it just, the more just raw, I mean, we hear it over and over.
Yeah. So that was surprising.
I love it.
More well, surprising thank you for than sharing a bad that. Hair, more surprising than a bad haircut during the pandemic. But
yes. Which there are a lot of, for sure.
There are a lot of, yeah.
All right. So closing words, is there anything else that that you would like to share that I've kind of missed touching on here?
I'm just releasing a podcast called Off My Duff, the Entrepreneur Podcast. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, big and small. Our goal is to answer that age-old question, how I need to get off my backside and get started on something. And so I'd love for people to go and check that out once it gets released here and later in May. And I have an expression I say to everybody at the end of my podcast, which is to teach what you love and live from your truth. So that's something that people should think about as they go forward with their online business and thinking about how to build content in this crazy world we live in.
I love it. Teach what you love and live for your truth. Awesome. All right. Duff, if anybody wants to find you and connect with you, where's the best place to send them?
Right now, you can go to duffgardner.com. You could also, if you want, you can go to something called theimpactscorecard.com, which is kind of an interesting way for you to kind of get a bit of an evaluation of your online efforts. So duffgardner.com or theimpactscorecard.com.
Awesome. And we'll make sure those links are included. Duff, thank you so much for being on the show here today and sharing all of this great information and stories.
Thanks, Jen. It's nice to see you. Can I call you the purple one?
Yes.
Thanks, purple one. I know I do on Facebook Messenger. Now I'm doing it on your podcast.
Absolutely. It's okay. It's my branding. I'm leaning into it.
Lean into it. All right. Thanks for having me, Jen. All right. Thank you.